Today we continue our series that we are going through, the Songs of Christmas. And we're looking at Christmas carols, and today is the second week. And if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, you're welcome to turn to the book of Isaiah. And I have three different scriptures that we're going to go through first. And they're listed there, but Colin will actually project them up there for you to go through and follow along if you want. Okay, Colin's on my mind. Colin's doing it remotely through Donovan while he's in Africa. Sorry, Donovan. Donovan is over there, and he'll get the words up there for you. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and it reads like this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the next one I'd like to look at says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the last one is also in Isaiah chapter 11, a couple chapters farther back, verses 1 through 12. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
You see, it is the oldest Christmas carol that you know. This popular song, it dates back to the year 800. And it represents an important and ancient series of services that were celebrated by the church. Originally, each chorus, each verse, was its own separate chorus. One chorus was sung each day for the 7 days that were leading up to Christmas. Each chorus was sung or chanted a cappella, much like John Edward is doing for us. However, each chorus was also sung in Latin, and he didn't know Latin, so. But it would sound like Veni, veni, Manuel, captivum solve Israel. It would go something like that. I have all the Latin words here and stuff. I don't read Latin either too very well. They were referred to as the O antiphonals because each verse began with O. Each chorus emphasized a different Old Testament prophecy of the coming Messiah that was fulfilled with his birth. It wasn't until about 1,000 years later, somewhere around 1850, that this chorus, all these choruses were compiled and they were put to their present-day music. They were given a refrain and then they were distributed. Now this carol has been translated in scores of languages. And it is sung by denominations all around the world. So it is a worldwide reaching carol that we sing. So what do we learn from this ancient carol? Well, this first stanza, it emphasizes the person of the Messiah. It refers to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it begins by appropriately striking the chord of deity. Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas is nothing short of the most historic day in human history. God became flesh and dwelt among us. It is the cornerstone of Christian faith. And it is this truth that sets us apart from other false cults like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, as well as other religions around the world. We understand and we emphatically declare that Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger, was the God of the universe in human flesh. The Bible teaches this clearly. In John chapter 1, the Apostle John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." The preacher who wrote the sermon that we call Hebrews says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being," in chapter 1, verse 3. His humanity was essential if he was to ransom those trapped in sin. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 and 18 says, "For surely it is not angels he helped, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Indeed, our Christmas carol begins where any discussion on the central figure of Christmas must begin, and that is by declaring Christ to be nothing less than Redeemer God. Jesus Christ is worthy of the name Emmanuel and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
Oh, come thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it foretells of the various offices which will be held by the Messiah. Among them, Wonderful Counselor. Throughout Scripture, wisdom is closely linked to God. Genuine wisdom finds its roots in God and His Word. In fact, in the Old Testament, wisdom became personified and was even understood as a constant companion of God. Texts like Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31 kind of fueled this whole idea. But it was when Jesus Christ, and through him, that wisdom became more than personified. It became truly incarnate. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, Jesus was in the beginning in John 1:1. Wisdom was in the beginning in Proverbs 8:22. Jesus was with God in John 1:1. Wisdom was with God in Proverbs 8:30. Jesus was co-creator, John 1:1 through 3. Wisdom was co-creator in Proverbs 3:19. Jesus provides light, John 1:4. Wisdom provides light in Proverbs 8:22. Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:35. Wisdom is the bread or the substance of life in Proverbs 9:5. Jesus is the door of the sheep and of the good shepherd in John 10:7. And wisdom is the door and the good shepherd in Proverbs 8:34. Jesus is life. Wisdom brings life. Jesus is the way to truth. Wisdom is the way to truth. You start seeing the parallel. You start seeing how the two run close to each other. For the human, life and life are filled with shadows and questions. But Jesus Christ has no such limitation. It therefore behooves us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, Jesus is fully the wisdom of God and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
Oh, come thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The rod of Jesse. It refers to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah's writings predicted a time when things will look hopeless. The axe, it will have been applied to the tree called Israel, and only a stump will remain. World powers and world religions will have all but consumed this small nation. And its hope of a ruler and a redeemer will be nearly forgotten. But beneath that stump, underneath the earth, there are living roots. And when all seems lost, a single stem will emerge. It will appear insignificant to any onlooker. But over time, it grows. And it becomes strong and mature and a force to be reckoned with. Such is the great story of the Messiah. Who would have thought that this innocent babe held such promise? Very few. But promise it held, or rather fulfilled. The rod of Jesse is an encouragement to hope. What God has promised, God will do. It may, in fact, look bleak and hopeless, but you dare not give up hope, for he who said it will be faithful. If the incarnation shows us anything, it shows us that God can keep his promises in spite of Satan's attempts to thwart God's plan. You see, it is always too soon to give up on God. Jesus Christ deserves the reference, Rod of Jesse, and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
In Luke chapter 1, verse 78, Zacharias the priest says, the dayspring from on high has visited us. A more literal translation suggests that God has visited us as a sunrise from heaven. In another Old Testament prophecy, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You see, light and darkness are common biblical metaphors for good and evil, for God's salvation. Zacharias is rejoicing because God has broken through the blinding darkness with the radiance of the morning sun. Light changes everything. The world looks different and is easier to navigate when there is light. See, Jesus did the same thing for us spiritually. His arrival illuminates the way to God. He even said so in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
Oh, come, thou King of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path of misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
This stanza, it refers to another of Isaiah's prophecies. Isaiah 22:22 says, the key of the house of David will lay upon his shoulder. Again, Isaiah 9:6 says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. The power of the keys was a significant role in a monarchy. It is nonetheless true of God's kingdom. Giving the keys to the government, the house of David, it suggests the capacity and the right to supervise the realm. The key holder has the authority to determine who does and who does not serve the king. Jesus Christ, the infant prince of Isaiah 9:6, is the ruler of God's kingdom. The Bible speaks of this prophecy's fulfillment when it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. His rule is just. His rule is gracious. And we, each one of us, are the recipients of his righteous reign. Jesus Christ is qualified to rule God's kingdom and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
Oh, come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 was a very prominent prophecy about the Messiah. It has many descriptive and predictive phrases about it. If I may, let me read it for you again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and his enemies have been made his footstool. He has conquered the hostile enemy that has held a grip on the human soul for millennia. He has set us free from the grasp of sin and death. Jesus can break the chains that bind you. He deserves to be called Mighty God, and is worthy to be celebrated in song.
O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 says, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. We speak of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. All nations claim it as their desire. And we seem to be on this endless pursuit, this endless search for it. We even search for peace through war. But peace will never be found through human mechanisms. It will only be accomplished in God's time and through God's Son. Isaiah longed for world peace too, and he knew where and when it would be fulfilled. In the Messiah, in the reign of God. The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. See, Jesus Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace. And he is worthy to be celebrated in song. So what is it that you need this Christmas season, this time of Advent? Do you think you might be able to find it in the Messiah, in the person of Jesus Christ? If this ancient carol that we've been going through is any indication, you just might be able to. You see, Jesus Christ is completely God, your source of wisdom, your trustworthy hope, the light of salvation, the ruler of God's eternal kingdom, the conqueror of evil, and your source for peace. I agree with this ancient song that we've been going through. Jesus can meet the deep need of your soul, of my soul, of our world this Christmas season. You see, he is worthy to be celebrated in song. We can do so. We can celebrate him through song with hearts that are filled in confidence. As we look toward Christmas Day, through this Advent season, for the babe in the manger, looking for our Savior. Even so, Lord Jesus, come.